WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek, brought to you by the Rock Creek Free Press.
Welcome to another edition of the New American Dream radio show. I'm going to lead off tonight with something from the Spiritual UN, one of our sponsors. This is another of their teachable moments. Here's to the 99%. Isn't it about time we had a new experience for the world? The humanity's vision, where we're sparking and harnessing the energies of love in each and all of us through our highest and greatest potential. Let's come together and choose it over war, militarism, and monolithic and monopoly corporatism, a cancer and a disease that's killing and asphyxiating all life on this beautiful planet. Instead, let our choice be to rebirth ourselves through a life-renewing genesis and breathe free as a better kind of humanity aligned with the wonder, beauty, and naturalness of this planet, with harm to none, as true healers, indeed, for everything in need. Let's build it from the ground up with equality to all, prosperity for all, as God gave it to be. You can find out more about the Spiritual UN at thespiritualun.org. This week, we've had a number of people arrested and chased out of parks, and there seems to be a lot of violence going on in the Occupy movement. Some people think that it's been infiltrated by people with an agenda. No, not an agenda. Well, you know, I mean, of course they have an agenda. The agenda is to change things. But maybe somebody has a different agenda. A friend suggested to me that perhaps the whole Occupy movement was set up as a way to influence Congress. I find that one a little bit far-fetched, but I like to listen to all ideas. I still think the Occupy movement is one of the healthiest things that's happened to this country in the last 40 years, and I still haven't managed to get to an Occupy gathering, even though there's one locally. We'll see. I'd like to say a little bit about Mike's latest book, Johnny Moon. Actually, what I'm going to do is read a review. Mike Palachek has written a book that brings me back to my time in parochial school at St. Mary's in Melrose, Massachusetts, and Morristown, New Jersey, where I attended from fourth grade till eighth grade in 1960. His focus on the Kennedy administration post dates my personal experience in school. But lo and behold, not much had changed in parochial school in those 3 years of his administration compared to what had come before. So if a combination of fifth grade antics and the greater meanings of our recent political history have interest for you too, check him out. That's from Reverend Tom Brown. And now I think it's time to turn it over to the author of that book, my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Thanks, Chuck. Tonight we welcome back Keith McHenry. Keith McHenry is the founder of Food Not Bombs. It's an international organization it feeds the hungry. And I think I'm pretty sure that Keith is on the move constantly trying to hook up with different chapters. And he told me tonight when we call him, he might be in Miami Airport waiting to go on Democracy Now, or he'll be somewhere in Miami. Anyway, we're hoping our phone connection works and we're able to connect with Keith McHenry. And our first guest will be Paul Corman Roberts. Paul is a new guest. He's a poet. He's from Oakland. I met Paul a few years ago at the Anarchist Book Fair in San Francisco. I was on a book tour. But hopefully Paul will be able to fill us in on the Occupy movement in Oakland and read some of his great poems. In regards to the Occupy movement, yeah, they've got my full-hearted support. I also have not made it to an Occupy protest. I got high hopes to get over there tomorrow and to check it out. I did read the letters to the editor in the Duluth News Tribune today. And there were several that were against anti-Occupy movement, and maybe that's kind of what's prompting me to want to get over there and lend my support. I don't know. I just hope they're able to keep going, and it's going to be tough with the weather. But let me see. I also heard from an old friend, Kevin McGuire, in Omaha, Nebraska. He had gone down. We had gone to prison together back in the 80s, 100 years ago. For trespass at Offutt Air Force Base against nuclear weapons in America's military. But anyway, Kevin said he had gone down, and he used to run the Omaha Soup Kitchen for a long time, Omaha Catholic Birthday Day Soup Kitchen, at least 10 years, but they've closed down now. I think Creighton, University of Creighton moved him out. But Kevin said he went down to the Occupy movement downtown Omaha and bought him some soup, and he said that, you know, Kevin is a little bit older than I am, and he said that he remembers the Vietnam War better than I do. I was in junior high, but he says this is the biggest thing since the draft lottery back in the 60s, and I really don't know what that is, but it's a big deal, and it is. The Occupy movement is a big deal, and I hope they keep going, and I'm going to get out there tomorrow, I hope. Well, it's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show. The American Russian novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour, because we have the winds of our own totalitary society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here, you'll notice. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. Perhaps you also have spent some days in Siberia. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar and look up samovar. Google what that means. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink. I've done that here. It's getting cold here. I've got tea. I don't usually drink tea. And listen, always, for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The New American Dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions we have. There are no wrong questions. There is no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we could even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 60s. This is supposed to be America. That is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream. are bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who have brought about this long 10-year war and debacle to trial and put them on TV, just like OJ, every goddamn afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. And part of that is becoming the type of people who are capable of telling the truth. Right now, we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Google, what's his name, Karl Rove. Google Karl Rove. There's a new video out about him with some Occupy people giving him the business, which is good. They all know that, and yet they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They kill and continue to kill. They allow others to die and continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. Our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission. We need to put certain people on the stand, and we need to be allowed to ask questions because our journalists do not ask questions. The troops are not protecting us. That is someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. Any welcome home parade for our soldiers to proceed directly to the county courthouse for prosecution. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas, what are there, 900, serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face-to-face with the empire, those who will gather every night under the cold winter moon around the country in the Occupy movement. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 and 2004 election. And see, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville, if you look very close. It went all the way into that hole, and no, there's no blood and no bodies and no luggage scattered or plane parts. And if we thought there were people buried down there, why didn't we dig down there with our on our hands and knees and with whatever else we had to find their bodies? We didn't. We just stood around and watched because we knew, they knew there was nothing in there. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written by Fred Flintstone with a rock and chisel from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. That's like a horror movie, and the killer is in the house with us still. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
Hello, I'm Tom Brady. Because I'm afraid if I tell you the truth, I won't be able to live my good life in America and be a pro football player on TV and rich and have a car and a house and a family in America. If I tell you the truth about America and its soldiers and veterans, I'll be destroyed. I'm Joseph. Yeah, high school football coach. I'm a coward, and I'm a co-conspirator in the raping and murdering and plundering of the world by America's military. I'm Ann, emergency room news. I'm an American. I'm afraid of other Americans, really afraid. So for the most part, I keep my mouth shut. I'm Bill, your dentist. I want to be liked. I don't want to be an outcast. I'm Mrs. Thompson, your daughter's third period English teacher. I want to be able to exist, even if it's just within a thin bubble. I get one chance at living. I'm not going to waste it by telling you the truth. I just have one thing I want to say. Thank you to all our nation's veterans and on-duty military for protecting us. You keep us free. You're heroes.
So I jumped on the fence and yelled at the House, "Hey, what gives you the right to put millions in prisons, bomb other countries, torture, make me pay taxes for the military, sign, sign, everywhere sign, health care, road repair, build school here, Cold War, Iraq War, war on drugs, do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs?"
Our first guest tonight is Paul Corman Roberts from Oakland. He's a poet and an activist. For a long time, he was the editor of an independent online magazine, Cherry Bleeds. And we're lucky to have him join us on the show. Paul, are you there? Okay, good.
Yeah, boy, I can barely hear you in the distance. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. A lot of stuff happening out there in Oakland these days. You guys are kind of at the forefront of things. Well, I don't know. New York, Wall Street might have taken that back since they rousted people out of the park the other day. But
right. Well, I think it was a matter of time before Wall Street sort of it started there. You know, a lot of people showed solidarity. But with Oakland, it's always something.
Well, that's good. It sounds like a good place to live if there's always something happening like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you definitely have, we had our first general strike here across the city, the first one since 1946, and it was very impressive because the news coverage that we got from it was fairly favorable. It was hard, you know, there were real working people out there, you know, crossing streets, blocking off the port of Oakland. I mean, that was a pretty magical thing to see. And it's like they hadn't seen anything like that since 1946, which, yeah. I think kind of harkens back to the severity of our nation's social crisis. You know, we're not, you can't compare what's going on now to the 60s. You have to compare it to the 30s when, you know, labor was really first getting itself together. And I think labor finds itself, a lot of labor, and it finds itself sort of in the situation that it was back then.
Hmm. How long was the port shut down for?
I remember about a day and a half. They set up. They were there. They marched in the afternoon. Spent a night to two nights down there, something along those lines. And it was effectively a nuisance in the shipping and manufacturing sector. And Oakland is the fourth largest port in the United States. And so they were, so that was, for a moment it was shut down. But, you know, I think a lot of what you see now, you know, the action taking place on Wall Street, you see, I've been hearing stories about people suddenly pitching tents inside of bank lobbies. It's getting interesting out there.
It certainly is. Well, I hope that the momentum will stay and something can be made to happen with this. Other protests have actually worked in other eras, both the 30s times and the 60s. And then it's been nothing but lip service a lot of the rest of the time. So I hope this is something real.
Well, it certainly has lasted for a lot longer than I think a lot of people, and I have to include myself. I thought, I have to admit to some of the same cynicism. Oh, well, let's see how long this lasts. I've been pleasantly surprised to see it's not going away. And that makes, I think for a lot of people, that's a thread of hope. It makes it feel like, you know, that it isn't just going to go away, and because what I noticed and what I've understood from the meetings that have happened after the camps have been dispersed is they're talking about, okay, we find new ways to manifest. They are, the occupiers are, you know, the ultimate citizens, and they become more like the virus that sort of feeds on us as human beings, or the virus of the human species that feeds on the planet. But you sort of have to engage in those tactics on that level. You know, you consistently force the city to respond at some point. You know, unless there's a complete breakdown of the social order, you know, the mechanisms of the government have to work with the movement at some point. And that's what progress is. And it's painful and it's slow, but, you know, it's not, I don't know if times are hard enough, there's not enough work and not enough money, people don't have much choice but to engage in that kind of tactic, you know?
Well, it's, as I say, it's certainly hopeful. Well, before we talk the whole time here, I'd like to give you a chance to read a couple of poems. If you have something to
prepare. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you. Well, let's see here. Let's see if I can find one of the pieces that I read. I actually went to I've been to the Occupy camps a couple times now, and have you know, I've read some of my work to the folks down there. The folks that are you know, putting on little performance series for them to keep the activists entertained. It gets a little slow down there sometimes into waiting for the police to come tear your tent down. But let's see what I've got here. Well, this poem I read at the Oakland Occupy. And it's called A Memoir for the Coming World. No, I read this at Occupy SF, and it's A Memoir for the Coming World and a Preview of the Gone World. The Abominauts are coming to piss on your lawn. What, you may then ask, is an Abominaut? Well, I'll tell ya. Abominauts are dedicated explorers in the philosophical terrain of Abominism. Abominauts have cunnilingus performed on them by their old men, preferably while mounted on the Bolivar statue at UN Plaza, preferably in broad daylight during the farmer's market. Abominauts remember a day when you could always cop a place to live by hanging around a coffee shop or a bookstore or a college campus, if you could stand to talk the talk for just long enough. Abominauts control Market Street in downtown San Francisco every Sunday morning from 6 until 9. The Abominauts are the blessed meek we were warned about by a ranting Christ upon his ranting mount. They worship at the altar of a North Beach flaneur whose ghost still haunts every poetry reading within remembering distance of Columbus and Broadway. They worship at his altar because this flaneur, without really trying, somehow managed to be everything the Abominauts always try to be. Everything the Abominauts always try to be, defined as black, Jewish, bisexual, incarcerated, lacerated, emancipated, strung out to the angelic perception, strung out to immaculate perfection, and able to get laid with a simple flash of his eyes and a few bits of choice prose. And isn't this the ideal job profile for a savior after all? And while the Abominauts manage to be some of these things, it runs against their grain to be all of these things. Regardless, they shall inherit the earth. They will erect a memorial skyscraper to their patron saint, Gracchus Babouf, if you remember who he is. They will stoke the cold ashes of the Paris Commune. They will abort Joseph Stalin at every urban intersection. Then they will elect Jack Hirschman supreme mayor of the meta-universe, but only while he's on vacation in Italy. The board of supervisors will be whoever shows up at the Mission and 16th poetry reading that Thursday night at 10. And somewhere above this abominist earth, the savior, the bagel, the bagel shot balladeer, the bomb cough, will speak into the heart of each and every abominist, where his words will reach out to his minions across time, space, and dimension, into their deepest dreams each and every godless night, when he will tell them, "It's all about oatmeal cookies, you stupid so-so bees. This isn't at all what I was trying to tell you." And in that moment, each and every Abominaut will awaken with a start, with a warm, fuzzy yang running right up and down their chakras. And in the very next moment, each and every Abominaut shall experience a pure joy that will cause them to laugh a very good and hearty laugh, as if they had just heard a very good joke. And isn't this the job description of every savior, after all? And you can get a preview of this world, a peephole into the apocalypse, if you can bear it, by heading on down to Market Street on a Sunday morning between 6 and 9 in San Francisco and see for yourself who it is that has inherited the world, if only for this brief window each weekend. And then, quickly, quickly, make your way up to Glide, the Scientology Center, Trieste, 16th and Mission, the Krishna House, or any other temple you care to choose, and know that you are blessed to have this religion to help you cope with the terrible beauty of the coming Abominaut world. Know that you are blessed to be an Abominaut.
That's quite something. And certainly apropos to our topic.
It's something that's been happening. You know, I've been noticing it for many, many years in the big cities. This is not, you know, this has not happened in a vacuum. This didn't just come out of nowhere. You know, there have been people falling through the cracks that have been gathering, you know, in places, and they don't stop falling through the cracks. That's been the problem with the last 30 years of Reaganomics-based economy. You know, it's really designed to pare down the middle class and create culture. And I think before this is all over, we might have to be redefining what we consider to be lower and middle class before it's all said and done.
Yes, certainly the classes are being polarized. We have the super rich, and we have the poor, and there's hardly anybody in between. But.
Right, and it's you know, a lot of people get on the occupiers for saying 99%, but you know that is in fact it's the 99% who are on the downslide. It's those 99% who are being pared further and further down. And I guess if you're high enough up on the ladder, you might not see it or be aware of it, but in fact it's happening. I thought it was very marvelously pointed out that even within that top 1%, you have an enormous paring down between the 0.9 and the 0.1%, and it all flows from one place.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, I've really enjoyed visiting with you today, and I wish we had time for another poem, but I'm afraid I talked too much, and we didn't have time.
I did too. I really appreciate the chance to be on the show. It's really an honor. Thank you for letting me read the poem, and I've really enjoyed speaking with you guys, despite all the difficulty with the phones earlier.
Absolutely, and I hope you'll come back and read some more in another couple of months.
I'd be happy to. I'd be happy to. Just, yeah, anytime you guys want me back, just ask. I'll be happy to come back on.
We'll do that. Thank you, Paul, and have a good night.
Thank you so much. You too. Take care.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
Thank you to our heroes and protectors, Elmo, Bert, Ernie, Big Bird, Oscar the Grouch. You are the best of the best. Thank you for your service. You are not puppets. You are our heroes and our protectors.
Our thanks go out to a new sponsor, Bazooka Up the Wazoo, the new patriotic toy your child will want this Christmas. Don't be the only one on your block without a Bazooka Up the Wazoo. Grandma's got one and Grandpa too. All the neighborhood kids will want to do their patriotic duty and find a Bazooka Up the Wazoo, because every terrorist in tarnation has a Bazooka Up the Wazoo. They're hard to find. Almost already as hard to find as any Tickle Me Elmo doll ever was. Look under the Christmas tree in your next-door neighbor's bedroom window, in all carry-on luggage, and any cell phone or email conversation. Bazooka Up the Wazoo. Don't leave home without it.
Tonight I'd like to welcome our special guest, Keith McHenry. Keith is coming to us from, I think, around Miami. Keith is the founder of Food Not Bombs. He's been on the show at least a few times. Keith, are you there? Hello, is Keith there?
Yeah, this is Keith with Food Not Bombs. How's it going?
Hello, Keith.
Keith,
yeah, I can barely hear you, but I'm at Occupy Miami right now. There are several helicopters flying, at least two, with giant spotlights over top of us, and a huge rally happening right now.
Keith, would you just take it away and go ahead and tell us what's going on there, since you can't hear me very well?
And I'm sorry, you have to repeat what you just said. I can't quite hear what you're saying.
Keith, can you hear me, Keith?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay,
yep.
Well, can you give us a report of what's going on there?
Yeah, well, basically there are hundreds of people that have converged at the Occupy, at the occupation here in Miami. It's right across from that government center. There was two different rallies called for Miami. One that was organized by labor unions and some other organizations, and another by the occupiers themselves. They united, marched through the city, and now they've all come to converge at the occupation itself. And it's this huge scene. People are giving speeches on the stairway that leads up to the library. And then I'm at the Food Not Bombs table next to the food. I'm at the literature table part, and the food is next to me. So all these people are coming by to eat. It's quite impressive.
Going to several of these occupies around Florida, around the country. Len, if you can't hear me, could you just take it from there? You go ahead.
Sure. So we're asking, have you been to other ones around the country?
Yeah, I have been. I started out at Occupy Chicago when it was only 20 people. And then we brought a bunch of, we didn't know how it would go, you know how it was at the beginning, so we brought peanut butter and jelly on bagels. That built within 2 days, there was a critical mass to that. It got huge, and it ended up becoming about 200 people the day I left Friday night. It was unbelievable. And then I went from there to Occupy Wall Street. I stayed there for several days. I cooked with the local Food Not Bombs chapter on their regular Sunday meal, as well as cooked for the occupation. That was huge, and it was also like Old Home Week, where I ended up meeting all my friends. And then I went to D.C. I helped set up two kitchens there. That was incredible. There's one kitchen in McPherson Square on K Street, one at Freedom Plaza on the other side of the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue. So I stayed there for about almost 2 weeks doing the food there around the clock. I didn't even get any sleep at all in those 2 weeks. Then I ended up going to Occupy Philly. I stayed there a couple of days. I slept at Occupy Boston, Occupy Rochester, Poughkeepsie. Occupy Columbia for 3 days. Occupy Charlottesville, Occupy Norfolk, Occupy Orlando. I'm now at Miami, and I go to Tallahassee on Monday. It's unbelievable.
Len, could you ask him what the spirit is in the Occupy camps, how they're responding to the police crackdown?
Right. Could you hear that? We're asking what spirits are everybody in?
I can't hear the first comments, no.
Are you saying, what are your spirits, and what are the spirits of people there?
The spirits are really high. It seems like, from what I'm getting from the people at this action, they are really super psyched. We had all these Food Not Bombs groups come up from Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Miami. They're all psyched at how much is going on with the local chapters as well as the occupation itself. I don't know if you can hear the cheering in the background, but there's people are like starting to chant and cheer. The helicopter, of course, every time it has a spotlight on top of us, everyone cheers for that. And what I'm getting is that no one is believing in the occupation movement that I'm talking to, and I've been getting calls from all over the country all day, that the arrest in Wall Street and the arrest in other cities is actually doing anything to end this movement, but is in fact encouraging it to get bigger, and I think this is going to get a lot bigger as a result. That's the energy that seems to be happening here. I've been in a lot of marches and protests in Miami, and this is definitely thrilling right here.
Where are we going from here? What's next for him personally?
So Mike is saying, what's next?
I didn't hear. What's next? This is the thing that we've really got to come up with a strategy even beyond this. Although the core ideas of consensus decision-making at the General Assemblies, that is really important. And that, I think, is why we are so resilient in the bouncing back on these arrests around the country. And I want to point out that these arrests currently were coordinated by the Obama administration. So I've been hearing today on the way down here from Orlando, like Rush Limbaugh and these people and Glenn Beck, claiming that we're somehow a part of the Democratic Party. Then why did the Democratic Party order the removal in Democratic mayoral cities of occupations? That's like crazy. But I think that the governments are going to realize, the local governments, and I hope the federal government realizes that they can't just use military force to stop this. And so I think we just got to start to coalesce more on a larger strategy. Certainly the occupation itself is a huge thing. But of course, it's got to be something that evolved out of the General Assemblies and is shared amongst the many occupations. And I've heard it's like probably like 1,500 occupations or more, maybe even 2,000, who knows, just within North America. And but I do think that part of it is that we're taught that what I'm hearing from in Wall Street and D.C. and Philly and so on is that there's talk about getting together on July 4th. Starting on the 4th in Philadelphia to start to take ideas from every occupation and start to put them together in some kind of coherent strategy that's even beyond the occupations itself, and to sort of synthesize the message to be even more direct and clear than it already is. Although I think it's pretty clear, it's just the more the mainstream media wants to make it seem unclear.
And ask him how people listening to this program can help out the Occupy movement, and then say goodnight.
Right. So we're asking, how can people listening to the show right now, listening to you, how can we help the Occupy movement?
Well, one of the things is that definitely we need people at every occupation, and we need whoever can camp out to actually camp out. Of course, in the colder areas of the colder parts of the United States, we need people to help with more blankets, maybe generators for space heaters, things like that. The other thing is to spread the word that there's several myths that are being propagated by the corporations and corporate media. That actually the occupation movement is not violent. You know, we are dedicated to nonviolence, and we've been working hard to make sure that agent provocateurs are not, like, disrupting our movement. I think we're having some success in that. I mean, there's been some setbacks in Oakland and a couple places, but I think overall we have been making some super good headway. I have an article written by Rebecca Solnit on the Food Not Bombs website on the front page that talks about the issue of nonviolence and how important it is to the occupation movement. And why it is working and violence is what the state wants us to do. So I think that's important, to spread the word that that's not an issue. The other thing is that there's this idea that the media is trying to put out that we're filthy and dirty and it's like a horrible thing and we have no main message. But we do. We have a message, obviously. The message is that this economic and political system is not working for 99% of us. And we are the lobby for the 99% that don't have the money to go to D.C. and buy politicians. And so there needs to be fundamental change of this whole society. And it's not, as the corporate media want, to have us to adjust, you know, like, oh, maybe have like a stronger policy about one thing or another. No, it's about how the political and economic system does not work for majority of the people. And something has to change, and we are going to create that change in a democratic fashion at the occupations. And so we need to not lose sight of that, that's what the goal is to make sure that everyone has food, housing, clothing, education, and that instead of just transferring the wealth towards the super rich. And I think it was telling today when Obama is on the North Shore of Australia saying that we're going to expand our military forces into the Asian Pacific region. At the time, there's an uprising in his country, which is basically discussing the issue that money needs to be diverted from this military spending. And who is getting this money but the wealthy bankers and that 1%? And that's where the military money is going to. It's certainly not going to the soldiers, and it's not going to the VA, and it's not going to the literally tens of thousands of homeless veterans that are living at the occupations in America. So, I think that this is really super important that people get this message out. And, of course, there's a bit of a lull in food donations, and people can visit foodnotbombs.net. We need financial contributions. There was quite a bit at the very beginning as this was happening, but that has dropped down, and people can donate at foodnotbombs.net. And we're providing more cooking equipment, more bulk rice and beans and so on to occupations all across the country. I think Food Not Bombs is involved in probably at least 300 occupations directly, and maybe more.
Okay. Well, on behalf of the New American Dream, I'd like to thank you for taking time out to talk to us, and we'll keep in touch via email.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's so exciting, and it's amazing to be able to speak on a radio program in the middle of such an exciting event. You know, it almost feels like I'm somehow a journalist in a live-action report. So thank you so much, you guys. And again, everybody can visit foodnotbombs.net to find out how to get involved in your local occupation. And almost every local chapter is actually a good way to connect. And, of course, you can also Google occupation or occupy and your name of your town and be able to find the occupation in your town.
Okay. Thanks and good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
Presents an American Hero Special. Recently, we honored patriotic singer-songwriter Toby Keith. He put a boot up their ass. Awesome. Then we honored General Norman Schwarzkopf, General Colin Powell, General Tommy Franks, General something-something Petraeus, and all the other generals out there in charge of the patriotic military were protecting us from people plowing mountains with oxen and killing them before they fly those oxen over here and dive bomb us with box cutters and not allow us to worship in the churches of our choice. Last week, we honored Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who uttered those words, those those words. It will live forever in Catholic hymnals and on the sides of police cars. In the same awesome style of Madeleine Albright speaking about the children dying in Iraq during the sanctions. We came, we saw, he died. This week, we honor all of you who stand like zombies whenever the American flag passes by in a parade or when the national anthem is played at any sporting event, from seventh grade intramural checkers to the Super Bowl. You stand without even thinking, and for that, we thank you. If you had a brain or stop for a moment to think of what you're doing, what you're being asked to do, condone America and its wars and killing in order to steal from other nations, well, you'd crawl out of that stadium on your knees in shame, and for that, we salute you. You're not a pervert or a murderer or an insane person. You're an American hero.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. The Tinker Farm family, Sam, Ray, Herb, along with a couple dozen local farmers, have taken over Conopasic Farms, the large area hog confinement factory farm corporation. Sam Tinker, the negotiator for the Rebel Farm Group out on the road by the mailbox, has asked to talk to Joe Coffee Joe, the Democratic candidate for Congress. Joe has now gone with the farmer rebels up to the house, leaving Jane with the FBI and sheriff at the mailbox at the end of the lane. Joe looked to the right through Sam's office out the window at the circle of men who had joined the FBI agent and Smith at the John Deere mailbox. He looked back at his questioner. He took a step forward. "I'm not a farmer." He spoke louder. "I don't know shit about farming, but I'm here. I want to learn." He fought the tremolo in his voice. "Agricultural economics is complicated. All I know is you plant corn on the left and soybeans on the right." He didn't attempt to smile. All eyes remained on him. Eddie Zook opened the door to let someone in. They exchanged whispers, and the man went back outside. Joe looked at the floor, struggling not to break down. He clamped his jaws tight, looked up, and waited until he could speak. He pointed toward the office window.
"What I do know," he said, "is the bad guys are out there. The good guys are in here." Some of the men clapped. "Yeah," said Joe, raising a clenched fist as high as his shoulders. "Power to the pigs, the farmers. Right on, yeah." Some looked at each other. Others maintained absolute eye contact with Joe. "What I do know is that those who can make money will do it by whatever means necessary. That's what it's all about," he pointed toward the road. "Thanks." Joe sat with his nose pointed to the floor. Sam moved to the middle of the room to conduct a strategy briefing. Eddie slithered down the wall and slipped into Sam's vacant metal chair. "You want the nickel tour, Congressman?" Joe, his elbows on his knees and his head between his legs, sat up to turn to Eddie. Joe looked over to Herb, his legs crossed, his arms folded over his chest, his head cocked, listening to his son. "Yeah," said Joe. "Sure. Come on." Eddie turned and headed toward the wall, bent low as if ducking fire, walking along the gun wall at the anvil mill. Joe stuck his hand in his shirt pocket, stood, lightly touched Sam. Sam turned. Joe stuck out his right hand to shake. "I'm going with him," said Joe. "Yeah," said Sam. Joe pressed the folded toilet paper into Sam's hand. Sam looked at the soggy bunch, then absently stuck it in the side pocket of his camouflage hooded sweatshirt, turned to continue speaking. Joe pushed through the door. Eddie waited on the cement patio with an unlit cigarette balancing in his lips. He stared at the road. Ready, he said, and turned to lead Joe toward the confinements. They entered a long building, filled with a cement pad and hundreds of small metal pens, crowded with anxious pink pigs. When they stepped inside, the hogs in the closest cage rushed to the other side of the pen. See, said Eddie, they're all like this. Thousands and thousands of oinkers. Pig's knee land. Joe followed Eddie outside. Where are the hostages? Asked Joe. Over here. Eddie led Joe to the chicken shed where the 17 hired hands were seated on the floor with their backs to the wall. Some slept on the concrete, legs curled to their chests. Some rested their arms and head on their bent knees. A few faces turned upwards toward Joe. Young faces with old eyes. They'd seen too much in 3 days to ever be young again. Sweat sat on their foreheads. Their t-shirts and blue work shirts were wet. Even their jeans were damp. Armed guards stood at each entrance. Joe touched one foot inside, then Eddie pulled him out. They look like prisoners of war, said Joe. They are, said Eddie. Jesus Christ, you'll kill him in there. It must be over 100 degrees. Is there enough air? It is war, son, said Eddie. Actually, they're safer than the rest of us. They get fed, get outside one at a time all day long into the groves of shit and piss. What do you expect? This ain't the Holiday Inn, bro.
Joe noticed dark clumps in the woods like turkeys roosting. Crude wooden deer stands built into a dozen or more of the trees, holding farmers in fatigues, making certain no federal agents sneak through. Eddie walked into the grove, nodding up at a silent man with blackened face, squatting on a slab of wood, intently watching. Joe followed. They stepped over dead trees, a defeated barbed wire fence, and around the edge of a blackened garbage heap. They walked on past more gun stands until arriving at the edge of the shelter belt. The tree line was cut square on three sides. Beyond that stood a no-man's land of lumpy, rolling, turd-pocked pasture. Eddie put his hand on a tree and rested, staring out into the open. Joe looked, too. He put his back against the tree and slid down to sit. See anybody? Asked Joe. Eddie turned back. Nope. Of course, that means that field is full of United States Marshals. Like, if you don't drink, to some guy climbing his way up the 12 steps, he'll tell you that's the first sign of alcoholism. Joe crossed his legs yoga style and picked a twig from the grass. Yeah, I guess, he said. He began to peel the skin. What kind of work do you do, Eddie, he asked. None, Eddie turned back. That's a bothersome hole in my resume.
He turned back toward the open fields, placed his shotgun to his shoulder and sighted. Joe looked into the fields, wondering what Eddie had found to shoot. How'd you get the name Coffee Joe, anyway? Eddie put the gun down and turned to Joe. Oh, the gov, Joe began, but, hey, snapped Eddie. I see it now. He put one arm into the sky like Pippin dreaming of glory. Congressman Coffee Joe, right there under your face on CNN. He leaned low to make sure Joe understood the epping subtle nuance. Joe looked into the grove to see if he had a straight shot if he decided to run. Eddie's finger alternately slid off, then on the trigger. He played with the safety, put the gun to his shoulder every 30 seconds, pointed it at assholes only he could see. After shoving the sunglasses atop his head, Eddie walked over to Joe. He stood over him, smiling, clearly enjoying the role of warrior with some pretty politician in his charge. Eddie squatted quick, staring at Joe like a gorilla at the new research scientist in the jungle. Joe climbed to his haunches to be ready in case Eddie was going to explode. They faced each other in silence. A baboon troop dominance diorama. Can I get a cigarette, said Joe. Eddie tossed the pack and sat back, making a chair out of his arms, letting the gun lay beside him. He watched how Joe lit the cigarette on three matches and held the smoke between his middle finger and thumb, cupping it downward away from the wind between puffs, the way he'd seen convicts smoke on television. Eddie stared and studied Joe. Joe felt like prey. He looked behind him. Wonder if we should get back. He checked the distance across the empty feedlot to the other buildings. No, said Eddie. Joe smoked and looked into the pasture, the puffs of clouds in the shape of Big Bird and Elmo floating along, unjustly concerned with the creeping of hell on earth as Joe prepared to die. Eddie reached into a front pocket of his fatigue jacket, pulled out a folded sheet of paper, flipped it at Joe's feet. What's this? Asked Joe. Read it, said Eddie. Joe unfolded the paper and read the large scrawl. A love letter from Eddie to Jane, Joe's wife. You wrote this? Asked Joe. Eddie leaned forward and ripped the paper from Joe's hand. Yeah, I wrote it. She was mine before she was ever yours. Who? Jane, you know who the hell who. Eddie stood and began to pace in front of Joe, pointing a finger at Joe each time he passed. You ignorant son of a bitch. Eddie continued to smooth the grass path. Joe flashed his eyes to the gun on the ground. You don't know nothing, do you? Jane, thought Joe. No, I don't believe that. Joe pressed his back against the tree, then his head, looked up into the clouds and realized he really did know nothing. He didn't know nothing at all. Eddie stopped in front of Joe, and keeping his eyes on Joe and smiling, he squatted to pick up the shotgun. He stood, put his finger on the trigger of the 12-gauge, pointed it at Joe. Joe saw the gold ball sight on the end of the barrel. You want me to get up? No, stay there, said Eddie. Right there is fine. He settled the shotgun on his hip and held it with both hands aimed at Joe's head. I know who you are. Your buddy's dead. Way back in Lincoln on that day, and then you come here thinking the FBI was after you, and you had a life, and then you got real bored and ran for effing Congress, of all things, you freaking loser. You've been wondering so long, huh? Well, your wondering days are about over, Coffee Joe. You wonder who killed your protester friend back in Lincoln all those years ago? Well, don't wander no more, sucker. Joe put his hands into the air. Why? Why Charlie? They paid us. What else? Is there another way it works? Who paid you? Oh, some guy. Just the same as some guy paid me to do you. Funny how things have a way of working out, huh? You agree? Joe didn't answer. I said, do you agree? Eddie took one step forward, gently placed the gun barrel against Joe's forehead. Joe felt the urge to vomit. Mouth propped open, he tried to swallow. Eddie stepped backward. Shotgun barrel is now a yard from Joe's face.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO local TV weather forecaster interns are about average.
And that wraps up another New American Dream radio show. We thank you for joining us. We hope you'll stop back again next week, same time, same place. We'd like to thank the Spiritual UN and World News Trust for sponsoring our show. And we'd like to remind you to stay tuned for Black Op Radio with our producer, Len Osanek. right after the show. Good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. World News. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.